paz de Cristo, praise the Lord, body of Christ, and all our church members and every person that God has allowed, Jesus Christ has allowed us. Lamentations 3:25 through 29 says that his mercies have never fallen. They are made new every morning. So we have new mercy today, amen. We have a new opportunity, amen, to praise the Lord, to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that let all that have breath praise the Lord. I believe that's in Psalms 156. Let all that have breath praise the Lord. And when God's new mercies are bestowed upon us every morning, you know, we wake up at 1 in the morning. You know, we're alive. Glory to God. Some of us wake up at 4:30 in the morning. We're alive. 3:30 in the morning. We're alive. Praise God. And in that moment that you wake up, that you have the blessing to hear your alarm clock go off, and you turn it off, you're like, in that moment, I encourage you to just say, thank you, Jesus, for another day of life. Thank you, Lord, for another day of life. And we need to choose to live accordingly to the Word of God. We can't choose to live accordingly to the world's standards, society's standards. We got to choose according to the Word of God. Now, a lot of you might say, well, choosing to live according to the Word of God, I'm not going to be living in grass huts like the Israelites used to. I'm not going to be making my own goat's milk like the Israelites. No. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about dressing in wool robes and that's your dress style. No, I'm talking about living for Jesus Christ. And that's what I want to talk to you tonight. Or excuse me, I'm so used to preaching at night. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, about our choices. Our choices are very important because they will determine where our lives, in what direction our lives will go. Our choices determine in what direction our lives will go. If you're a person who makes bad choices, you can see that your plans have always destroyed themselves. You could see that your goals have never been met. You can see that your dreams have never been accomplished. You can see that whatever you put your mind to, if you're a person that makes bad choices, you can see that they just never come. Your choices never come through. You know, and you know who those people are, because you're like, these people are always trying something new. Like, I'm going to start flipping houses. And then 3 months down the road, hey, you know, how many houses did you get into? It's not the right scene for me. The real estate game wasn't what I expected. I'm starting to flip cars now. I'm buying them junked cars. I'm putting a couple $1,000 in them. I'm going to sell them for, you know, $1,000 more than when I got into it. And then you talk to them a couple weeks later. And no, I sold one car and actually had to sell it for less than what I put into it. I'm going to start a lawn care business. And then you talk to them a couple months later down the road. And no, that didn't really work out. What I'm going to do is I'm going to wait till winter and I'm going to start a snow blowing service. You know, if you don't make the right choices, they can affect your life. They can have a very impact on your life. And I want to prove that to you with scripture, with the Word of God. And go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and go to verse 19 and listen to what the Lord tells the Israelites. Listen to what he's telling them. He says, and we read in the name of Jesus Christ, the name of all names. The Bible says that every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is the Lord. And here's what it says, Deuteronomy 30:19. That was a dramatic pause. If you probably thought, what, did he press pause or did he turn down the volume? What happened there? That was a dramatic pause, folks. I'm pausing for dramatics. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, just thank the Lord. There where you are right now, just say thank you, Lord. Thank you, my husband still has a job. Thank you that my kids are alive. You know, a lot of us want our kids to go back to school. Look what's happening. We're having a resurgence in this virus. Places where I live right now, up to 500 people overnight have been found positive. So be thankful. Be thankful that your kids are home. And if you're home right now, be thankful that you're alive. Just be grateful. Be grateful in the situation you're in. It could be worse. Listen, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. Woo! Right away, the Lord's talking. He's putting on some fire here, folks. He ain't fooling around here right now. Let's read that again. Deuteronomy 30:19, it says, I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and a curse. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love thy Lord thy God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life and your length of days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give to them. So he's telling Israel, look, this is after the fact of Abraham. This is after the fact of Isaac. This is after the fact of Jacob. He's talking to the Israelite people. And he's saying, look, your choices have been poor. That guy that you thought was going to be your husband, man, that was the worst candidate you could have chose. I got a guy here ready for you, but I can't give him to you because guess what? You're not ready for him. You're still making poor decisions. The guy that you chose wasn't even a candidate that I had in mind for you. He was just some guy that randomly walked into you and you're like, oh, this is my Prince Charming. Come on, church. Some of you women know what I'm talking about. Some of you women just making poor choices. And God has your Prince Charming in line. He's waiting for you. But we got to make the right choices to get there. Some of us have poor choice qualifications. And some of us men, we're out there looking for anything. When God has our Rebecca waiting for us. She's coming to us on a horse. And when she sees us, she's going to fall in love with us instantly. Rebecca said, who is that man? She told him, the gentleman that was bringing her to her future husband, I believe it was Isaac. And he says, that's Isaac. That's the man you're going to marry. And she's like, whoa. Whoa, jackpot. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. See, some of us make poor choices. And God is saying, wait. He says, I've called the earth and heaven as witnesses against you today. See, there's witnesses against you that we have made poor choices. We're so impatient. We're so anxious. We're so gung-ho and ready to just go. But a choice is a very important thing. And look what he does. He says, look, I have set before you life and death. See, we get to choose whether we want life, whether we want death. And you're like, but Pastor Jay, that's pretty drastic. Everybody's going to choose life. Yes, everybody will choose life. But God doesn't want us to live a life without his accord. He wants us to choose life in accordance to what his standards are. What kind of life really is there if I am deeply, deeply submitted in the hole of alcoholism? See, you can choose a bottle over your matrimony, and what happens? The bottle wins, your matrimony loses. You lost your wife. You lost your husband. You can choose the bottle over your children, and what happens? The bottle wins. You'll lose custody of your children. Your children will hate you. They won't want to see you anymore. You just lost your children. You can choose alcoholism or the bottle over your job, and what happens? Alcoholism will win, the bottle will win, and your job will lose, and you lost your career. You lost those 4 years of college, 2 years of college, all those training. You lost all that, and now you're jobless, you're homeless, you're without a husband or a wife, and you're without the kids. You're living in a car, and you're still choosing the bottle. And you're saying, but everybody wants to choose life. That's not the life that God wants you to choose. He says, you may cling, and it says in verse 19, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, and that you may cling to him, for he is your life. You see, everybody would say, yeah, or nobody's going to choose death. Nobody's going to say, kill me now. If you put a table before me and there's a button that says life and there's a button that says death, nobody, I guarantee you, nobody will press the death button. Everybody will press life. But we think we get to live according to what we want. No, we got to live according to what God wants for us. You know why? Because God's got your husband, the right husband, waiting in the wings for you. God has the right wife waiting in the wings for you. All those relationships that have been ended horribly, because that's not the one that God has for you. You got to wait upon the Lord. And he'll send his Rebecca to your Isaac. Or your Isaac to your Rebecca, either way. Some of us young men, young women are making horrible choices. And God says, I have put a table before you. Let me paraphrase. And I call heaven and earth against you as witnesses that I have set before you. So he's placed it before us. We get to choose. I have placed before you life and death, a blessing and a curse. Therefore choose life, that both you and your descendants may live. Look at that. Look at that. Praise the Lord God Almighty. He says choose life, that you and your descendants. Who are your descendants? Your family. If I choose to live for Jesus Christ, my daughter, my two sons, they're going to benefit from that. My wife's going to benefit from that. Now I'm going to get into some deep topics this morning. What if I was the kind of husband that without living for Jesus Christ, in other words, I didn't know him. I was an unbeliever. I was unsaved. And let's say I was a very abusive husband. And God forbid I put my hands on my wife. These hands that I'm clapping right now. Let's say in another life, I was a very abusive husband. I'd put my hands on my wife. I'd physically punish her with pain. With these two hands, I'd physically punish my wife. That's not love, church. That's not love. And let's say that I would physically abuse, verbally abuse, emotionally abuse, mentally abuse my children. It's not love. But let's say that in this life that I'm living, somebody preaches to me Jesus Christ, and I repent and I convert of that lifestyle, because that's what we can do. We don't have to continue to live like that. When Jesus Christ comes into our life and we choose to live for him, he transforms everything. And those hands that used to cause pain and hurt and punch, and that tongue that I have in my mouth that I used to verbally say things to my children and hurt them, these hands now start to edify my family. This tongue now starts to speak a blessing over my children. It says, so that you and your descendants may live. Choose life so that you may live and your descendants may live. So once I choose to live according to the word of God for Jesus Christ, my family starts to automatically receive blessings through me. Because I'm choosing Jesus, Jesus is choosing to bless me and my wife, my marriage. There's no more arguing in the house. And if there is an argument, they're very rare. Where before, without Christ, without choosing Christ, there was an argument every twice a day sometimes. Once a day sometimes. Somebody's out there living that lifestyle right now. Like, you're telling me about it. Me and my wife or me and my husband or whatever, we get into it almost every day. You're telling me. Somebody out there listening is going through that. But I want to tell you, if you choose Jesus Christ, your life will change. And those around you will see the change. And it will cause them to change as well. See, if you choose life, for he is life. And that you may cling to him, for he is life. And the length of your days, and he may dwell in you. And your both you and your descendants may live. Your children are going to grow up knowing Jesus Christ because that's what you taught them. You stop teaching them. You stop teaching your children how to treat a woman. You don't treat a woman by putting your hands on her. And you were showing that to your boys. But because you chose Christ, you may live and your descendants may live. Now your children grow up knowing that's not the way you treat a woman. And when he gets married, he's going to treat her like a flower. Yes, they're going to have arguments. Yes, there's going to be disagreements. But he's going to come and remember, I remember that when my mom and dad would get in an argument after my dad got saved, he'd go to the scripture, he'd read the scripture, and he'd find out either he was wrong or my mom was wrong, and he would ask for forgiveness. And they'd reconcile their differences. And that's what he's going to learn. He's going to learn to live according to the word of God. Now, like I said, I want to talk to you about choices today. I want you to turn to the book of James, chapter 4. Amen. And the Bible says that he that chooses to do wrong and knows to do right, to him is sin. Amen. To him that knows what is wrong and still chooses to do it, to him it is sin. So if you know that it's wrong and you still do it, you are knowingly committing sin. There's no other way around it, folks. We choose. We choose to grab the bottle. The bottle has no control over you. Yes, I know what addiction is. I know that addiction is strong. But if one person can overcome it, then we can all overcome it. That's just the truth. It might be hard to hear it, but it's the truth. If one person can smoke 3 packs a day and then ask God to take it away, to choose to live right, to choose to live according to the word of God, it can be done. If one person was an alcoholic, they can choose to let it go and live for Christ. Don't tell me you can't. Don't tell me you cannot do that. You know why? Because greater is he that lives in you than he that lives in the world. In other words, Jesus Christ is greater than your addictions. Jesus Christ is greater than your past. You don't have to live in your past no more. Choose life. You don't know what I've done, Pastor Jay. I've hurt my mother. I've hurt my father verbally, physically. I've stolen from them. I've hurt my wife. That's why I lost my family. I've done so many wrong things. Choose life today. Ask God to forgive you. Repent of it. Convert of it. Put it in your rear view mirror. That lifestyle, put it in the past. For I no longer live, says the apostle, but Christ lives in me. Accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Choose life. Choose life. Well, nobody's going to believe that I'm changed. You don't tell people you changed. You show people you're changed. You show people you've changed. You show your wife you're a changed man. You show your children that you're a changed man. You're not the same father. You're not the same husband to your wife. You show your family you're a changed man. How can I do that, Pastor Jay? Choose Jesus Christ. Choose life. He says, I set therefore before you life and death. Choose life. I set before you a blessing and a curse. Choose the blessing. And it says, so that you and your descendants both may be blessed. And this is what Joshua says, and I'm going to close with this in Joshua 24:15. Right before they were getting to the Jordan, they had to choose that. And a lot of people, there was some murmuring in the tribes of Israel. As you know, there were hundreds of thousands of Israelites. And Joshua, Moses had just died in Deuteronomy 38. And they were in the valley of Moab crying for him, you know, in a wake, per se, for I believe it was 38 days. And it had come time that Joshua had been anointed to keep taking the people of Israel forward. And Joshua says, you know what? Choose you whom you will serve today. Oh, come on. We're talking about choices today. The theme is choices. He says, choose whom you'll serve today. The gods of this land, because they were in lands that were not known to them. They were in pagan lands, or the God of our fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac. We just read that in Deuteronomy 30, 20. God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Jehovah God. And he says in 24:15, but as for me and my house, and I'm looking at a sign, a wooden sign that my wife had stained with a dark walnut. And then with her Cricut machine, she put this scripture on that piece of wood. It says, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua 24:15. You got to choose. If you're tired of living the way you're living, your choices have brought you there. Now it's time to make one more choice and choose make the one choice you're going to have, the best choice of your life, last choice you're ever going to have to make. Jesus. If you hear anything from this message today, anything at all, if there's any takeaway from this message, it's this. Three words: choose Jesus Christ. Choose him. He'll change your life. Now I feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit on me right now. I'm already starting to get a little weepy. My eyes are starting to run. I can feel his presence. Somebody needs to hear this today. And I want to tell you again, choose Jesus. Choose him. It is the best thing you'll ever do. It is the best choice you'll ever make. The Bible says he'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never abandon you. Praise the Lord. Like I tell you, I seriously feel his anointing. It's a game changer, folks, to feel the blessings of God. And somebody this morning, for me, maybe you're going to listen to this podcast later today. One of you needed to hear this. Choose Jesus. It's the best decision I'll ever make. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I choose you, Lord. I choose you over everything and everyone. For there is a benefit, Deuteronomy chapter 30 says, that I may live and both my descendants may also live. So for me to choose you, Lord, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, my great-great-grandchildren, they also will live for you. And they also have this life. And they also will have this blessing. Lord, I pray that in Jesus' name. That every person hearing this voice would not hear a man's voice, but that they would hear your voice, Father. And that they would search the scriptures for every verse, for every scripture that I've used here today, that they would search their own Bible and come to see that it is true, it is in the Bible. Lord, and I bless those that are listening to this. You said, I will curse those that curse you, and I'll bless those that bless you. You told that to Abram, according to the Israelites. And I pray a blessing over everybody listening to this. And I pray life over everybody listening to this. There's so much sickness, infirmity, and disease going on right now. I pray life over everybody. And I pray a blessing over everybody. In Jesus' mighty name. And God's people said, say with me, 1, 2, 3, amen. We'll see you next time, folks. Have a great day. When your wife comes home from work or when your husband comes home from work, put a little difference. Meet him at the door. Give him or her a hug and a kiss. Let them know they're special to you. If you see your kids running around and they're making a mess in your house, you're like, oh, why aren't they in school? No, hug them. Love them. Be thankful you have them alive. God bless you, Pastor Jay. We'll see you next time. Praise the Lord, Paz de Cristo, Body of Christ. Today I bring you a word. And first of all, we want to give God grace, thanks, and gratitude for another day of life. It is Friday morning, about 6 o'clock in the morning. And we just want to say thank you, Jesus, for granting us life. Thank you, Jesus, for waking us up. Thank you, Jesus, for putting air in our lungs, oxygen, excuse me, and sight in our eyes and movement in our body. Thank you, Lord, for getting us out of bed. For those of you that are going to work, that the Lord would guide your paths to work and back so you'd find no danger, you'd find no obstacles in your roads. And by that, I mean, the enemy wouldn't be trying to cause you an accident or nothing like that. The Bible says to commend the Lord your ways, acknowledge him and he will do. And a lot of times we forget to just say, Lord, in Jesus' name, I go to work and I come back. Abram said to his men servants, stay here at the bottom of the hill. He says, I go up with my son and we will return. He spoke in faith, even though God had told him to sacrifice Isaac. He said, I go, but we will return. He spoke in faith. So a lot of times before we go to work, we leave the house. We say, in Jesus' name, I go to work and I will return safely, is what we mean, safely. So today's word comes from the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work in you, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give you glory. We give you praise. We give you the honor, Lord, for it is yours and yours alone. Again, Lord, thank you for getting us out of bed. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to move about. Lord, thank you, Lord, for letting us see another morning. Thank you, Lord, for letting us fill our lungs with oxygen that you provide for us every day. Thy word of God says in Lamentations 3, 25 and 28, that thy mercies have never fallen, for they are made new every morning. And this morning we have perfect, brand new, renewed mercies from you to us. And let us take advantage of that mercy, Lord. If yesterday we did not take advantage of it, if yesterday we sinned, if yesterday we fell, Lord, today we get up in Jesus' name. Today we ask forgiveness in Jesus' name. Today we take advantage of that mercy in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's get back to the mini message of this morning. First of all, good morning. How are you doing? How are you doing, listeners? How are you doing? And I'm not going to say my listeners because that would be prideful. I'm not trying to be that kind of person. I'm saying, how are you doing? It's good to know that you're there. I check how many times we have listens. Excuse me. We're up to 300 and something already. And I praise God for that. Because if it wasn't for social distancing, I would have never gone this route. We would have never gone this route as a church. As a church, we were just preaching to our members. And we would go out and we'd knock on the apartments. We'd knock on the trailer homes. And we'd give out little pamphlets and we'd pray for people and we'd tell them about the gospel of Jesus Christ. And some would open the door and some wouldn't open the door. And some would give us at least 5 minutes and some would just say, hey, I'm busy, leave me alone. You know, that's just the way it goes. But like the Bible says, the commandment, part one, go throughout the world preaching the gospel. We have to. So we wouldn't just stay in our little building. We would go out. And then we started up billboard ministry. We'd take a few members from the church and we'd make signs, you know, Jesus loves you, repent, the Lord's coming, you know, just signs that speak the truth. And we'd go down First Street of this town that we lived in and we'd raise them up high and we'd stay out there for about an hour. And it was effective. We had people giving us a thumbs up, you know. We had people honking the horn. We had people stopping and saying, amen, Jesus is real. But at the same time, we had people giving us a finger, and it wasn't a thumbs up. You know what I mean? You know, there's always going to be opposition when you're telling people about the love of Jesus Christ. Some people just don't want to know that somebody loves them. Some people just don't want to know that there's somebody out there who really has their best interest for them. Because they were raised, you know, to know hate, to know the opposite of what is not love. You know, they were raised in a lifestyle. They were raised in a home where they weren't shown love and mercy and grace. They were shown a fist and they were shown a belt, and they become adults. And you tell them now that Jesus loves them, and they don't want to hear that. They think it's a fantasy. They think it's fiction, and it's just a made-up story from a book. And I want to tell you, it's not. God is real. Jesus is real. And that's why I'm glad that, in a way, that social distancing happened. Because, like I said, yes, we would go evangelize. But now we're getting the word out further. I mean, Facebook is, it just gets the word out there to all the nation. You know, and it can jump to another country. And I thank God, because the other day I was looking at the analytics of our podcast, and we're reaching people in Arab, we're reaching people in South Africa, we're reaching people around the nation of USA. I mean, it's gone across the sea. I mean, and I thank God that He's used this humble servant to preach His gospel, to preach His word. We exalt Him, Jesus Christ. We don't exalt ourselves. And I know I'm kind of ranting there or going on there, but I just want you listeners to know that something good can come out of something bad. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Or if you want to paraphrase, we could say, be happy even when you're in a dark situation. And that's why I said I thank the Lord for social distancing, because if it wasn't for that, I wouldn't be using this tool of podcast. We wouldn't be using the tool of Facebook Live. So, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials. And you might be saying, how? Why would I be happy? Why would I be happy when my marriage is going through difficulty? Why would I be happy when my child is in prison? Why would I be happy when my daughter has just been diagnosed with a rare disease? Why would I be happy, Lord, when I find out that my work, my career could possibly be ending, that they're going to shut down the factory that I work at? How and why would I be happy? Why would James say this? Why would James say, my brethren, count it all joy? See, he uses the word joy. Joy is not happy. Joy is beyond happy. Joy is ecstatic. Joy is 100%. I don't even know how to explain it. When you're happy, you're just, yeah, I'm very happy. But when you got joy, that's beyond happy. And he goes to that extreme. He says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Now, a trial is something that tests you. The trial is something that finds out what metal you're made of. It finds out what cloth you've been cut from. A trial is something that they would do to the people in the old days. You know, if you want my daughter's hand, you got to go do such and such this. And they would call it a trial, you know. And you'd have to do these trials to prove yourself worthy. And he's saying, count it all joy when you find yourself. It's a lot of times we're like, why am I going through this, Lord? Lord, why am I going through the valley again, Lord? Lord, why am I going through this miry clay again, Lord? The Bible says that the Word of God says, patiently I waited upon the Lord, and He heard my cry, and He pulled me out of the miry clay, and He put my feet back upon the stone, and He put a fresh song in my mouth. See, David was crying out to the Lord, saying, Lord, I don't want to be in this trial, Lord. I don't want to be in these various trials. Get me out, Lord. And David was rewarded. He says, He pulled me out. He heard my cry, number one. Number two, He pulled me out. And He established my feet again upon the stone. And what did He do? He put a new song in my mouth. I want to tell you, my brethren, count it all joy. David says, He put a fresh song, a new song in my mouth. Oh, when God brings you out of something, you cannot help but to clap your hands, praise God. You cannot help but to cry tears of joy, praise God. You can't help but to stomp your feet and do a little bit of those Pentecostal apostolic dances, praise God, and raise your hands and wave them back and forth. And maybe the neighbor's like, what's going on with you? Are you crazy? Did you win the lottery? And you're like, no, I didn't win the lottery, and I'm not crazy. But Jesus Christ has just brought me out of my trial. I started this trial. I was in the middle of it. And guess what? Praise God. I can now pull out the flag of finish in the race. I'm done with this trial. I'm done with this race. Praise God. I'm joyful. Some of you listening right now are going through your own trial. You're like, but Pastor Jay, it feels like I just started mine. How long is it going to be before I can raise that flag that you're talking about? It takes time. Every process takes time. There is a beginning. There is a middle, and there is an end to every process, no matter how small or how great. No matter if it's a career, there's a beginning, middle, and end. No matter if it's getting married, you know, in the relationship with the fiance who's going to become your husband or your wife, there's a beginning, middle, and end. Every process has these three stages, a beginning, a middle, and an end. No matter if you're at the beginning of your trial right now, praise the Lord. Count it all joy. Say, Lord, I thank you, Lord, because now I'm listening to your word. And your word says no matter what the trial, what the situation, what the problem, what the obstacle, Lord, you're going to bring me out. And I should count it as joy because you are going to bring me out. No matter if you're in the middle and you're saying, Lord, I've been in this, it seems like 2 weeks. I've been in this, it seems like 2 months, Lord. I'm getting tired, Lord. I don't got the faith anymore, Lord. My faith is starting to lag. My faith is starting to wean. My footsteps are getting heavier. They're getting slower, Lord. Please help me, Lord. Please help me, Lord. Please help me. Somebody's crying out to the Lord this morning. Somebody is crying out saying, Lord, I can't do it anymore. You gotta intervene, God. You gotta help me. You see, the Lord always, always comes on time. There's a story about a man named Jairus. And he had a daughter who was very, very ill. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And he sends out for Jesus, and they tell him, come to Jairus' home, his daughter's ill. And then as they're trying to get Jesus over there, a woman with a blood hemorrhage, for over 12 years a blood hemorrhage, touches his hem of his garment. A lot of times we need Jesus, and it seems like somebody else has his attention before we can get his attention. We're like, Lord, what about me? Lord, I'm going through this trial, Lord. Lord, what about me, Lord? What about me? I know you've answered the Petersons. I know you answered the Garcias. I know you answered the Martinezes. You've answered all them. But what about me, Lord? And everybody at church is getting up and giving you a testimony. Oh, I was going through something, Lord, and you got me out. And I'm going through the same thing. How come they can testify that they've already come out? And I'm still going through it, Lord. I started this trial way before they started their trial. How can I find joy in this, Lord? Some of you are at that situation. You're at your end's rope. You're at the rope's end. And Jairus was like, he says, come to my daughter. She's dying. Finally, he gets the attention of the Lord. They start walking there, and they come by, and they said, don't bother him no more. She's dead already. Don't bother the master no more. She's already dead. It's too late. Imagine you're asking God for something and that happens. And the Lord says she's not dead. She's sleeping. So they get there and he finally gets to the room. And all these people are weeping around this bed of this girl. I don't know, 8 years old, 12 years old. I don't know. The Bible's not specific. And he says these words in Hebrew, Talita Kumani, which means little girl, get up. And as soon as he says it, her eyes open and she gets up out of bed. Jairus didn't know where the trial was going to end. And James is speaking about this just a little different. He says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. See, not every trial is going to be the same for you as it is for me. And not every trial that I go through is going to be the same for me as it goes for you, whoever's listening to this. And there's various forms. There's various ways. And then this is why we should be joyful, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. See, when you're being tested, there's a reason why you're being tested. There's a reason why you're going through that trial. There's a reason why you're going through the fire. There's a reason why you're going through the water. The Bible says, even if you pass through the water, you shall not drown. The Bible says, even if you pass through the fire, the flame shall not burn in you, nor shall you even smell of smoke. Now, we're talking about life situations. I'm not talking about, Pastor Jay said I could go through fire and I'm not going to be burned. You're going to be burned. You're going to have second degree, third degree burns. Don't do that. Don't do that. Pastor Jay said I could go through high waters and I could just walk right through them. And then you find out that, hey, what happened to Mike? Well, he went through the river and he never came back out. Now we're looking for his body. Don't do that. We're talking about spiritual trials. Some of you out there needed that laugh. It's okay to laugh and cry at the same time, because some trials will do that to you. You can cry and laugh at the same time, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. See, we learn patience. I am an impatient man. My wife, thank God, is a very, very patient woman. She has to be, because the Lord led her to marry me. Oh, Lord. Yes, church. Pastor Jay is very impatient. I have to learn patience. And I thank God that He has been changing me to become more of a patient man. As years come, you know, as we get older, we start to appreciate the function of patience. Whereas an impatience leads us to more trouble. Patience leads us to reward. And the Bible says that there is a reward if we count it all joy when we're in trial, knowing that the trial produces, that our faith being tested produces patience. Why is that good? Because maybe in this trial we got very impatient. And we started to cry out, Lord, where are you? Lord, where are you? But we learned something at the end of it. We learned patience. So the next trial comes around, we're going to say, Lord, I'm not going to yell out, where are you? I'm going to say, Lord, you're in control. I'm going to learn to trust. I'm going to learn to put all my faith in you and to know that you're in control. And I give you the praise right now by faith in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we give you glory and honor. And every person listening to my voice, listening to your word, I pray that you would bless them with more patience. I pray that you would bless them with spiritual strength. I pray that you would bless them, man, woman, child, elderly, no matter what race, whatever country they're from, in Africa, in Iraq, and Iran, in the United States, wherever they are, I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, you would bless them. Because the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God. And that's exactly what they're listening to. Whatever I preach, whatever I said, has come directly from the Bible. It is not from a poem book. It is not from a fictional book. It is not something that I read. So it's not something that I wrote myself. This every word, every scripture that I said has come from your Bible. And that means you are talking to them directly. Whoever they are, Lord, I pray that they would find joy in the midst of their trial, and that their faith would be tested, and they would be given and granted peace and patience. The Bible says patience in Jesus' mighty name. And all of God's people said, say with me, 1, 2, 3, amen.